Hi, this is Paul, and this is part two of Bigfoot.
Well, there's one more thing about Yetis, or big. It's a smell.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about this terminology, skunk ape, all right? Initially, skunk ape did not get the name because of the smell, but it got it because of the way it looked. It looked more like a
skunk.
Silverback.
Or silverback, yeah. Silverback.
Exactly. So I think that was the initial name. However, there's the accompanying scent that always is mentioned a lot of the time. If you're downwind of a squatch,
You'll know it.
It has a, I don't know how.
They say it's very unusual. It's not like it's an animal smell, but more like really musky.
Musky.
Yeah. Well, you're all hairy and stuff and sweating.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you're down south. That's the reason why they call it skunk ape.
Oh.
Because it's tromping.
You're talking that down south.
I can't go any farther without it. No. Don't make me. Oh, skunky. There should be a song called Ode to Old Skunk.
Yes.
I'll try to come up with one next time. We'll see if I can. But the smell alone is something that really, really permeates a lot of this lore as well. As if you come across that scent, let alone the knocking of the rocks or the wood knocking, which is another way of communication from what I've understood.
It is, yes.
That smell will let you know for sure that there's something there.
So one of the things, we were going to bring this up again, but if you really want more information and really delve into this, Cliff at the Northwest American Bigfoot Center, he is an expert. So I went in there and I was going to make a joke. And of course he has big feet. So I said, oh, I think we might call an episode the biggest thing between 2 feet, which Cliff told me that that's not necessarily, because if you look at apes with their genitalia, it's not very big. So now it's Bigfoot, the smallest thing between 2 feet.
Oh, but yeah, there has to be something there. I mean, think of the large gait that these creatures that make.
That's why he can do a large gait.
Yeah, because I got to keep hitting the inside of my thigh.
Is that a log in your hand, or are you just happy to see me? Come on, I had to go there. Oh, man.
So,
Well, here's a good word. I love this terminology. Is like gigantic anthropoid.
There you go. Yes. That's what I was trying to tell you. That's the giant gorilla.
Yeah. And I just came across this when I'm looking at some of my notes here. But it's so interesting. Just, the problem is that there are a lot of people who like to fake a lot of this stuff too for notoriety, just to get shits and giggles from people by planting fake stuff out there too, which was something else that we came across.
So
as well.
So now we're going to talk more about what most people look at, or when they think they found a Bigfoot, is the feet, the footprint.
The footprint, yeah.
Now the gait. Man, we tried to do the gait. There's no way. It's like a 6-foot gait. I mean, you're like jumping.
Have to jump.
Yeah.
You'd have to hop. You'd have to get a running start to get a good hop to be able to get that kind of a gait.
Right, right.
And you can't do it.
So when they're saying Bigfoot, they're talking like, what was it, up to 8 feet?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 1,000 pounds.
Easily 1,000 pounds.
So when they walk, their heel, they're a heel toe thing, not flat foot. So they put their heel down, and 1,000 pounds. I mean, that's pretty good. And then what they do is they kind of roll the foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the balls of the feet and then the toes go in, and it kind of makes a mushroom thing on it.
Yeah.
But then they have the side of the foot that actually shows up. So their arch is huge. There's basically no arch, but they kind of like walk on the side. Like they need arch support.
Poor guys must be suffering huge amounts of pain. It's like, rub my feet. Makes me think of like Rob Snyder and he's rubbing that woman's foot.
Yes.
It's like, oh, and she's just going, ha, 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 ha. It's like, I think a Sasquatch does the same thing. Maybe, yeah. Maybe they wouldn't be so aggro if we gave them foot, you know, massages foot, or foot something massages. Like that. Bigfoot foot massage. Let's go. I got the special oils to rub into your crevices of your foot. Come on.
Oh, so they had the, at the museum, talking about feet, they had a shack shoe.
Oh, yeah. That was a great example.
Oh, my God.
Now Shaq, I think, has a size
18?
Something like that.
16, 18, like that.
It was something huge.
But it's narrow.
Yeah, it's narrow.
And then they put a print next to it and a Sasquatch print. I mean, it's pretty wide.
Yeah.
It's huge. And then handprints. They actually have handprints.
Which are pretty cool, actually.
My best print that they have there is they have a butt print.
Oh, okay.
He has a big butt.
Yeah, but
he's hairy booty butt.
Oh yeah, that's another one right there. It's just like, oh, so that should be mentioned too, is that they actually have collected hair samples.
Yes.
Okay, so here's an interesting concept.
Oh yes,
we should talk about that. So the hair sample, there's a couple of them. The one that we saw from where they had that bedding,
yeah,
that they pulled from the Olympic Peninsula. Looks like that there's these bedding that you find from primates in Africa. Similar situations being formed in a lot of these areas in the Olympic Peninsula. And so they found these bedding areas. They actually had one right there that we were looking at, which was pretty big. I don't even know what the size
of it. I mean, they were like, got all the twigs together, put it down, almost like twisted them together. Oh. I mean, if I had to sleep outside in the forest, it looked really comfortable.
Yeah. It would, there would be enough twigs between your 1,000 pounds of weight against the wet dampness of the ground.
Right.
And you wouldn't be sleeping in the wet mud or something like that, which if your name is Skunk Ape or whatever, I don't think that makes a bit of a difference really, but you know, hey, whatever. But the bedding is very similar to large primates in Africa, which I thought was really interesting. But the hairs, they did a comparison between human hair, bear. There was another creature.
Was it orangutan?
Yeah.
They did orangutan, human.
And they showed what these hairs look like. So the hairs themselves are very long. They come to a complete point instead of being clipped like most people do when they're shaving or whatever. There's some interesting stuff about the cuticle itself. I can't remember.
It wasn't human hair has a lot of the cuticles or the ridges, or I call them like scales type of thing.
That's exactly what they are.
And they didn't have on the Yeti hair. It didn't have a lot.
No.
Yeah.
No. And there were some other hairs. So there seems to be some evidence that there is some sort of large primate like thing. They didn't come out and say Sasquatch or something like that, but they were, or Yeti or anything, but they definitely said that was definitely a large primate of some kind.
Right.
Unknown.
Which brings us to our commercial from Vidal Sassoon.
Are you having a problem with your hair tangling up? Have you are having a problem with the smell of your hair?
Do you need it shiny and clean?
Does it need to be fluffy? Then try Vidal Sassoon shampoo for squatch. Because the only thing that's going to clean you is Vidal Sassoon. I have a good smelling squatch is a happy squatch. That's what she said.
Oh, God.
Okay.
So we're back. So when we talked about North America, I mean, Mexico has them. They come up through, Mexico has a lot of jungle growth.
Oh, yeah.
Rainforest.
Yes.
A lot.
It's not an arid depiction that you always see in Hollywood movies. Everybody has that visualization of that Mexico is a kind of a high desert kind of area.
Right.
And it's like, no, that's not true, guys. That was the only reason why Mexico is ever shown in that light is because they're trying to depict that branch between Mexico and Texas in before you get to the panhandle.
Oh, no. It's in.
Oh, yeah.
The Western movies.
Yeah. Can you imagine Eastwood dealing with a Squatch out there? You know, Manton with no name, dealing with a Squatch of no name.
You see, I forgot I fired 5 or 6 shots. Do you feel lucky, Squatch? Do you feel lucky, Squatch?
I can just see it right now. Eastwood's not tempted by anything. I don't care how hairy you are.
You're the Squatch, and I'm the man, and I'm going to take you down.
Anyway. So, but yeah, the depictions that we're so commonly used to in American society is that Mexico is depicted as this arid kind of country. It's not.
No.
It's not. It's got a lot of landmass. It's got a lot of forested areas, though those are being depleted like crazy, especially South America, unfortunately, which is not Mexico. But if you're encroaching on somebody's territory, that's the reason why you're going to have much more visualization and much more crossover between two species that probably shouldn't be.
Right. So from Mexico, we're going to go now hit up to the America.
Oh, okay.
So one of the things that we found was the pictographs.
Oh, yeah.
Of the hairy whatever.
The Wildman.
The Wildman, the hairy Wildman, and their pictographs. So that tells you, first of all, that's old. We're talking
real old.
Yeah.
We're talking prehistory, as opposed to like Western history, which, you know, only goes back, you know, a couple centuries for sure.
Right.
And I think
before we're talking BC.
Yeah, easily that. The depictions that I've come across or stuff that I've come across that deal with that generally is like the Yucca Man, which is something that's come up. And I think the first real documented case comes up in 1971 at 29 Palms Base near the Mojave Desert. Now, the Mojave covers quite an area down south. Wouldn't that be correct?
Yes, it does.
So there was a soldier that was on duty at the time, and this soldier had heard something. He was posted out by himself out in this desert area, and he turned and he saw what he called a 12-foot-tall hairy man with red eyes. He brought up the gun, brought up his rifle to shoot at it. Not only did he see the red eyes scenario, but he also could smell it. And then suddenly he got smacked. He was knocked unconscious. When he was, other guards were sent to relieve him of his duty. They found him knocked out. They also found a copy of his, or found his rifle completely bent at like a 90 degree angle. So, you know, rifles are not meant to be bent. But this was very easily. And during that, and there's other indications right around Joshua Tree National Park of smelly, hairy men. Also near in California, near Edwards Air Force Base, the Sierra Devil. There's another one.
Sierra Devil. I like that one.
Yeah, so do I. But there's a listing of a bunch of other creatures, the Tongva people. Talk about a hairy bipedal creature. They listed them as shamans with no respect for human life. So I think this kind of goes again to the idea that these creatures are not generally the gentle giant like I have on a t-shirt that I drew.
Well, one of the stories too is like, I don't remember what tribe it is, but they were actually, would grow, you know, they're planting and growing stuff, you know, because they're like farmers, whatever. But they were actually, well, Indians actually were farmers because they just didn't, you know, just killer thing. They actually grew stuff too. And they would share some of that. And I guess what happened to the point is that they were big, like big feet, were actually start taking more and being more aggressive. So what they did is they knew they lived in a cave. The Indians went in there and with fire forced them in the back and started a big fire. And basically with the smoke and everything killed all of them.
Oh yeah. Now I've heard stories about that. I've heard that they were fighting, tribes had to group together.
Right.
And drive these giants.
Giants, yes.
Into a hole, and then they burn them out. But you can't get to it now.
No.
It's all protected area.
The other thing is, like, this is the best part. Is when this one of these articles is that this is the headline. If I can read it here. It says, exclusive Bigfoot gets official recognition by the U.S. Army. And so this is a big article. And what happens is because of the hair and the sightings that the U.S. Army decided that they are going to recognize that there is a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Which is, okay, we're talking a government.
Cover up.
Yeah.
And or conspiracy, if you want to call it.
Conspiracy, whatever, yeah. So, you know, it could have been in, well, they go so far back, you know, so.
Well, there's the other, remember that attack that I was telling you about up near Mount St. Helens?
Okay. Oh, the Ape Cave.
Okay. Now, I've heard this story since I was a kid. Okay. And to put it to you like this, I had heard this story since I was a kid about my mom talking about this thing called the Ape Cave near Mount St. Helens. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about, Mom? So there was stuff that my parents were telling me as a kid that she had heard as she was a child growing up here in the Northwest about the Ape Cave. Now, the east side of Mount St. Helens before the eruption had a bunch of miners and so on like that that had been setting up to pull copper, I believe, or something along those lines out of the mountain. But it was in a very remote place. And I've seen pictures of what this place looked like, and it's definitely remote. But back in the 1920s, apparently a couple of miners had been attacked, not by one, but by several of these creatures. And Squatch went to town and showed the
1920?
Yeah.
21, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like just a little over 100 years ago, there's an attack that takes place on these miners, and they had to fend themselves off because they were trying to get into the cabin. It was shaking and being hit by rocks.
They had taken one of their big rocks that they can throw and threw it. Okay. This is a log cabin. And back then we're talking old growth that they're using, which is really good wood. And they built a log cabin, and they had this creature had thrown the rock, this huge rock, so hard.
It crushed
one of the logs and dislodged it, and it came out. So there's a hole now into the...
Yeah, so there's this conversation taking place in here. So these guys, things are trying to get in from the top of the roof, trying to get them. They're sitting there shooting their guns at them constantly. It doesn't seem to be affecting them, some whatever.
That's because they're too scared and probably just, they're not shooting straight.
Like, yeah, well, probably not. You know, you're high on adrenaline, and you can barely see what's going on inside that thing. And then you got these creatures whooping it up outside.
Yeah, they were throwing stuff on the roof.
So the following morning when all the squashes decided to take off or whatever, they booked it for Portland, Oregon.
Okay. We're talking the other sides of 1920, which you're talking like what, Model A's, T's? A's. Model A's.
Yeah, there might be a Model T in there, but yeah. Horse and buggy.
Horse and buggy horses. For sure. Yeah. So they come all the way to Portland.
Yeah, they come to Portland needing help from the police, which I find really interesting. It's just like, is this like an X-File? Because, I mean, Mulder and Scully would have been on this all over the place. But they called them out, and they went out to investigate. But nothing conclusive.
Nope.
And then, unfortunately, because that whole place had been abandoned thereafter, the place fell into disrepair. And there were a couple of hikers during the time that did it up until May 18th, which is coming up here pretty quick.
Yes.
Of Mount St. Helens eruption, which decimated that whole area with ash and soot and everything else. Now, just now, within the last, was it 25? No. How many years has it been since St.
Helens?
Oh, my
gosh.
So it's 1980.
It's been a while.
It's like almost
30.
1980. So it's 40.
44?
Yeah, 44 years. So almost. Yeah, we're closing in on 50 years since Mount St. Helens blew her top.
Okay.
I'm not getting the walker out for you, dude. Not yet.
God, that's a long time
ago. I know. But to me, it's so ingrained in my brain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, watching the Lahars moving all that stuff down there.
Well, that's if you were in New York, well, even here, especially in New York, if you ask somebody where they were on 9/11, they know exactly what was going on, what time, everything they're doing. Here's the same thing. Not so much as, I mean, it was a big impact, but not as much. Now, Mount St. Helens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. People that remember that, they're like, oh, yeah,
If you lived in Yakima, Washington, the sky went dark.
Yeah.
Because of the ash fall. I mean, it was nuts. I mean, you could see the videotapes of the reports going on there. I remember Coin TV at the time that they were filming helicopters going around the top of the mountain. And you could see the holes opening up because of all that stuff and debris falling in.
It's falling back in.
Yeah, and you get these steam plumes coming out before the eruption within 2 weeks.
Now, because of that, there was a rumor or sightings of a Bigfoot family that lived on that side of the hill or mountain. And they basically said that they were probably just wiped out.
Now, from what I've heard, and again, this falls into conspiracy theory and military stuff, during the eruption, I had heard a rumor that there were some Squatches that had been retrieved and they had been burned badly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, burned badly. But the military wouldn't have anything to do with it and they had to pop them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, euthanize because first off, one, we don't want to know that there's something out there like that, which seems ridiculous to me. I don't understand. But there's always a lot of conversations, conspiracy stuff. It always talks about the Squatch as always being like, we don't want to talk about the Squatch. And it's just like, yeah, but there's so many oral traditions that say that there's always been there. Modern day stuff says that there's something there, even though it's circumstantial. And yet the military doesn't want to admit to it.
No, they don't. Which brings us, it's just, you brought up the song.
What?
We don't talk about Bigfoot.
You know, hey, leave those kids alone, man. Come on.
So there's another thing I want to tell
you. Stop it, teacher.
In Washington, one of the counties, I can't remember which county it is, but they actually put in their law that it's illegal to hunt.
Oh, yeah. Squatches. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now there's also one in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's written into, if you come across one of these things.
It's in their Lower Suwannee.
Yeah.
Suwannee. National Wildlife Refuge hunting regulations 2021 and 2022.
That you cannot shoot.
Right. There is no taking of swamp or skunk apes.
Now, it's actually written into a national document of some kind.
Which is just makes it even more so. I mean, if they're putting it down that you can't take them.
Then acknowledge the fact that they're there.
Yeah.
Just because we haven't been able to put a tracker on them, you know, subdermal tracker. God, give me a break. Jeez.
So on Northwest, the other thing that we're seeing is that the call, you know, the different calls and everything. But in Colorado, they see them, you know, like I said, there's just a lot of areas we have not discovered or gone to. And we're talking about maybe caves. If there's caves, they'll live in those, but they'll make bedding. The other thing they do is they twist branches. Imagine you've taken a 3-inch branch, right?
Yeah.
On both sides and just be able to twist it and see the fibers just come undone and then kind of twist it again and kind of like almost making a bow out of it. I mean, that's strength unbelievable.
Well, what was it? Was it pine that they were showing that was being twisted?
I think it was pine, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so not just the twisting of these particular tree branches that were fresh and then they cut them off and they gave us a couple examples. Now, I can kind of see maybe something else doing, but there's that one that showed like the three twisted spots right. like into a triangle. And it was like, no, there's no way you'd be able to do that. You'd have to have like, oh my God, you'd have to have the strength of a gorilla.
Right.
Maybe, or maybe bigger, which Squatch is supposed to be.
It's bigger. Yeah, a lot bigger.
And be able to twist these things with its power grip.
I wonder if it has a thing in the back.
Actually, that'd be a great one to do is like power grip. Squatch power grip.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh,
that'd be a great toy.
Got copy of that. Alan Bennett, 2024. Trademark. Bam. Own it. Mine. If you want it, you're going to have to pay me for it. Okay, there we go. Anyway, so sorry. I had to throw that out there.
So the other things that we were kind of going back, follow up on, this is just so much sightings in the Indians here, especially in the Northwest and just through the Americas, that they've seen them so far back that it's in their lore, it's in their songs, it's in their totem poles, because they actually have them in the totem poles.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So if they're having, you know, we're talking hundreds of years ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's huge amounts of that stuff. Let's see if I can find some more stuff here real quick. You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like the nuclear bomb that you hear on like a missile command or something like that. We got mutants already, so Squatch isn't much of a stretch.
Here's the other one, is another story that they have, is Sasquatches or Bigfoot are seen with UFOs.
Oh, that's a fun one for me. I love that one.
That they've been reported coming out of a flying saucer.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. That's getting a little too far for me.
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. They could fly it. They do have the hands, the fingers to do it.
They do. They do.
You know. Maybe that brain is big and usable.
Well, you would hope so. Now, there are some other UFO stuff, the orbs. Now, I know
yes. Well, they've seen the orbs with
the Squatch. They think Squatch likes to... The reason why Squatch disappears so quickly is because they use a portal
right.
to disappear into. Now, I think this is the most hilarious thing. It's like, really? Now, I've heard rumors, again, rumors being what they are, especially around Mount Shasta, which is a real hot spot for Squatch, UFO, and portals to pop up into. And I've heard that Squatch uses a portal to disappear into and then exit out some other place. I don't know if I could really buy that personally.
Are you an East Coast or West Coast Squatch?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Would their tapping be different?
Do you tap on the right or do you tap on the left?
Well, I was thinking like there's nothing like a West Coast Squatch, like a West Coast Squatch.
Because a Squatch does what a Squatch's gonna do.
Yeah, that's right.
Squatch this. Sorry.
That was actually pretty good.
I was just taking a look at some of the other names for the Squatch here. A bonsai from Africa, Ogawi, Alma from Russia, the Amjuni from Africa, the Amongo from the Philippines.
Oh, forest man from Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, there's, let's see. Eto Rimbo from Sumatra.
Yes.
I'm probably butchering most of these names here.
Gogo? G-O-U-G-O-U.
Okay.
That is Canadian.
Okay.
The Grey Man, Scotland.
The Batutu from Sumatra, the Biguas from Canada. Oh, here's a good one. Big Muddy Monster. That's from America. That's from Illinois.
Kakunda Kari, Africa.
Chinu from Canada.
I mean, we're just picking things out from...
Yeah.
I'm trying to get friends not so... Manigagari, Brazil.
Chittyville Monster, America, Illinois. Keep going there.
Mech Kangmi, Nepal and Tibet.
Chechuna from Russia. Doko from Africa.
Nega, Africa.
Dzu Tin from Nepal and Vietnam. Imbu Goo from Indonesia.
Windigo. That's a Native Americans.
Now, that right there is an interesting creature, because if you know the lore of the Wendigo, basically what causes that to happen, it's a curse.
Yes.
Okay. So the idea behind this curse of the Wendigo is that it is another human being eating another human being, and therefore the curse of the Wendigo infects you with evil, and therefore you've got a lust for human flesh. Man, you know, Hannibal Lecter would have made it great up there.
So, and there's, of course, this is my favorite one. Urine.
Oh, God.
We're trying to figure out how to do it. It's Y-E-R-E-N.
How do you pronounce it? Urine
or
Wyrn? It sounds funny.
Yes.
To the American ear. Okay.
Oh, North Carolina. It's a Yahoo.
Yahoo. Let's see here.
So oh, no.
Go ahead.
Louisiana. It's a Wookiee.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right, Chewy. Isn't it? Okay, so here's an interesting thing if you think about it. The prevalence of a hairy man has been so popularized in popular culture that the idea not only of a Bigfoot has permeated Native American culture, but it's also permeated the rest of Western culture in general. Star Wars is a good example of that with the Wookiee.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there were some concepts that people thought that when George Lucas was directing, I think it was Return of the Jedi, that Peter Mayhew in that costume in the Redwoods was a Sasquatch, because he fit all the criteria of what a Sasquatch would look like. That's one. Then you got Harry and the Hendersons, played by David Anthony Hall. He's a very tall gentleman. He also played, I believe, the original Alien in the movie Alien.
Oh, wow.
But he played Harry and the Hendersons. Another popular one. And
it's a family movie.
Exactly. And then you've got, of course, one of my favorites, and we're going back to the early 1970s here, TV, $6 Million Man, with the dealings with Sasquatch. I mean, Steve Austin having to deal with a bionic Bigfoot. The Bigfoot alone was crazy enough because it's so powerful to begin with, but they had to make him bionic.
Right.
Right. And then he shows up not only in the $6 Million Man, but also a return to the Bigfoot. And then he shows up in the Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. But they had the character being played by Andre the Giant originally, and then played by Ted Cassidy.
Right.
Who also played in the Addams Family Lurch. Original series as Lurch. And he also played in Star Trek, Rook the Android.
Yes.
In What Little Girls Are Made Of. Sorry, I'm getting nerded out here. But he also popped up as doing the voice for a couple other things in Trek as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Gorn, which is a lizard man.
Yes.
Anyway, had to go with that one.
I wonder if, there's a good battle right there. Bigfoot versus a lizard man.
You have to get two Ted Cassidys to go at it. I think that'd be kind of hilarious. Okay, so the Skookum.
I beg your pardon.
Sorry, I sneezed. I don't know if I want to say that one because I'll probably mess that one up right there. The one that's Africa.
It is. Move your thumb. I'll get it. It's.
You see what I mean?
Tsi-hit-ti.
Okay, you got a better pronunciation on that one than I do. The Sabadado.
Connecticut, the Winstead Wild Man.
I've heard about that guy.
The Woods Devil.
You know, as much as I've grown up here in the Northwest and I've listened to a number of different Native American tongues for certain roadways and tribal names and so on like that, like the Willamette, not the Willamette, the Willamette. Let's make sure we get that clear. Oregon is spelled and said as Oregon by native speakers, not Oregon, as a old sticker used to have on the back of trucks to pronounce it. But Willamette, the Willamette?
No. The Willamette.
Nope.
So here's one for you. It's all right. The Miwok Indians in California. I hope that's right for you guys. It's the Lupu Oyes.
The Tano Giant is from Ghana.
Wow. Momo is from Missouri.
We got one here right from Oregon here. The Toke Masai.
Masai.
I think that's the way you pronounce that one.
There's a lot in Alaska.
Oh, yeah. Actually, one of my boss was telling me about that, too. He got kind of pulled into it when I told him we were going to the museum. He said, oh, yeah. And he started really getting into it.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because they have a number of, you know, if you want to go to Alaska to live in one of the bigger areas, you're probably going to be better off. People do go missing in Alaska.
Oh, yes, they do.
For on purpose, for a lot of reasons, because people want to drop off the face of the planet. They want to go up into the woods and live by themselves. And you never, ever, ever hear from them again.
And some people just are not prepared for what needs to go up there.
Mm-mm.
And then there's just Mother Nature.
Mother Nature. Now, I think bears, Kodiak.
Yeah.
I mean,
grizzlies.
Grizzlies, for sure.
Yeah.
And then you've got the other native wildlife, like packs of wolves. Again, I heard a story that a lot of people will leave their doors unlocked up there. Because if somebody is in desperate need, they need to be able to get into a house.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to turn a person away like that is immediate, like, you're going to have the police on on your back door.
Well, the other thing I just heard that was in the newspaper that I think it was Washington. Yes, Washington. They're going to introduce the grizzlies back into Washington.
Bears.
Yeah.
You know what else I heard just recently as far as like native wildlife coming in? Wolverines.
Yeah. Oh, we have them here now. Yeah. They saw them at the beach.
So, okay, so there's another apex predator for you.
Oh, man, they eat everything, yeah.
Any kind of badger-like type of critter. Again, there's natural selection going to town to take care of any carcass. Have you ever seen a wolverine tromping up a trail with a goat's head, and I mean decapitated goat's head in its mouth? That was kind of wild.
Wow.
And it was like, don't get in my way. I've got this goat's head. I'm going to eat it up. Blah, 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 blah. And it was, and it's stocky, like a badger. Or a skunk.
Yeah.
And they've got those crazy long claws and stuff.
Yeah, when they walk, it's like you're watching a bulldog walk. Because it's hunches.
But it's flat. It's kind of like watching a carpet with legs.
Yeah.
You know, you would wipe your feet on it, and then it would probably snarl and bite your foot off or something.
They're known. Okay, we're going to get really close to this. So if there was a Bigfoot, too, they would attack it.
Oh, yeah.
They attack bears. They attack everything. So, yeah.
Wolverines are not something you want to come across. And I'm concerned about that because if I ever want to go to the coast, I don't want to be walking the coastline and then come across a wolverine. It's like, look for a tree. I don't even know if they can climb a tree, though.
I don't know.
They're a burrowing kind of critter.
They are burrowing. Like, so probably get them in the tree. Yeah.
So if you put a wolverine up against a honey badger.
Oh, that would be interesting. That would be interesting.
Honey badger don't give a shit. look, what's it have for what's it have for dinner? Snake. Snake.
What, you gotta think though. I'm thinking probably the only animal Bigfoot probably doesn't screw around with, because it's bigger than they get bigger than a bear, or not grizzly, is the moose. A full grown moose. If you ever seen what they can do, I mean, it's ridiculous.
The guy I was talking about, my boss who lives up in, or had lived up in Alaska, said moose are huge animals. You do not want to tangle that. The rack alone will take out a truck.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just thinking, wow, you know.
So there probably are.
Of course, there's nothing like a nice big rack.
A big rack of moose. What do you get? You know, put some chocolate on that. Squatch is serving up some moose today, baby.
I can almost make baked Alaska.
Oh. So Squatch, with those big hands, you make big meals?
So I was looking up something that I thought might be kind of cool. I thought that the troll legend myths could have been big feet.
Okay.
Foot.
Yeah.
Or little feet, and they were playing.
Under the bridges and everything.
Under the bridges, yes. seven bridges long.
They were skipping rocks, trying to hit people off the bridge so they could chew on them.
But if you think about that, they were big and hairy,
mm-hmm.
and they ate people.
Right. So when you take a look at the folklore for... stuff in Europe. Okay, so we're talking like written stuff, the stuff that's written down and put in fairy tales and all that kind of stuff, right? So you're talking, what did we say, like between like written documents from like about 1100 through 1400 or so, right. Like the Brothers Grimm, all that kind of stuff.
Which are the reason called Brothers Grimm, because they are grim.
Oh yeah. My God, yeah.
They're not the ones you see.
Fairy tales have been so caramelized by popular culture and just making sure that the stories are palatable as opposed to scare the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Which those stories are supposed to. Even when we were talking about the Native American tribes, they did the same thing. It's like, don't go out into the woods away from the rest of the tribe.
Right.
Because you might get caught and snagged and taken away. And that was something I was reading about or watching a little bit earlier today on YouTube.
That's what they were talking about when the pilgrims and stuff came over. The Indians told them, don't go out in the woods because there's something out there that will get you.
Well, even in this book that you lent me, the Oregon Bigfoot Highway actually talks about the tribes telling people near Estacada that you shouldn't be going out there because that's where they live.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, okay, but I don't buy it, but okay. You've got a story about some weird wild men living out there. Sure. I'll take care of them. I got a shotgun. Yeah. That's going to do a lot of good. You're just going to piss them off.
Don't shoot them. You only piss them off.
You're just gonna piss him off. Come on, man.
Candy Graham for Bigfoot.
Yeah,
Candy Graham for Bigfoot.
Right now, if you were to shoot a Bigfoot right now with a shotgun or something like that, he's gonna be swatting you like he swats at a bunch of mosquitoes.
I believe it. I just, you look at their hands, right, and their feet and everything, and with the hair alone is gonna protect them.
Oh yeah,
that's what. Oh, so I was looking. You know your famous skunk ape, right?
Okay, yeah.
In the swamps,
yeah,
and it. They couldn't figure out why, because I saw a video where they actually watched one go into the swamp and then went underneath the water and then came back up, right? And they're thinking, well, why doesn't it get bit? Why doesn't? Well, first of all, alligator's not going to go after it. And the snakes can't bite it because of the hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's protective. Yeah.
I mean, the scent alone for the skunk ape probably is a deterrent for a lot of creatures. Anyway, so... With skunk ape, as well as a lot of other critters, you've got a fairly thick amount of fur to keep you warm during the winter months. Got it. And so, Sorry, I'm thinking of something like maybe that cranial ridge picks up radio signals. You know, Squatch has to roll over to one side. It's like, hey, honey, we're gonna watch this.
I think that
I've got Dish TV. Dude, you need to get on board with the Bluetooth. You know, Squatch Senior, come on, get on it, Dad.
Let's watch Swamp Thing again.
Yeah. Change the channel. That's what the rocks are for. They're probably tuning the trees with their giant switches that they broke off of the trees and stuff. It's like a tuning fork. Ging! Except it vibrates and, you know. Yeah.
So...
But we were talking about we got way off topic there.
Yes.
No. But we were talking about the whole idea of folklore.
Yes.
I think specifically European, right?
The Carpathian Mountains.
I love that word because if you look at Russian and German and French, they all share these very common themes of folklore where you're dealing with crazy creatures, witches out in the woods. That's the story of Hansel and Gretel being, right. Eaten by a witch because they're tender.
Which is actually, I think it's the other way around in the original.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. The whole idea of the gingerbread house and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Don't, if you come across a gingerbread house, it probably has a Squatch in it. Has been making some baked goods for you, and it's taunting you to like come out and play.
Can you read the keys? Mm-hmm. Your name is Hansel, and my name is Gretel.
And I'm Chester Squatch.
Chester Squatch.
I want you to play with my big toes.
Oh my god!
Bigfoot liquor.
But you're so big.
No, he's not.
Braid my fur.
Gretel, did you see what he has?
Oh, no.
It sure is no lollipop.
But it tastes sweet.
Yeah, well, he's a grower, not a shower.
So what kind of toll are you going to pay the troll under the bridge?
That's a good question.
You know, because they were always saying that you had to pay
a goat,
which would go along with the wild animal situation. That you know, if it's to be believed that the squatches out there also track along where the bear, bears are apex predators, that the squatch would follow the same route, which has been talked about, would make sense that you would have if you had an actual troll. Underneath a bridge, the only way to get across that bridge, because it's a great place. I mean, well, today there's a lot of urban squatches out there with their tents and stuff out there. Yeah. And they're always grumbling at you and stuff when you ride by on your bike. I don't even know what you're saying, dude. Go away. Don't bother me, man. Here's a wooden nickel. Go ahead and chew on it. Maybe I should find a goat and just kind of drag it along behind my bike or something like that. But then I would start attracting like the wolverines that they've found in recently over on the coast.
Well, now they found not in the coast now. It's Washington County.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're in.
Yeah. There's some migration going on. I've come across coyotes in town here.
Oh, yeah. I've had them come right down the middle of the street.
I still yell at them all the time on my bike.
If you go to, and we're in, by the way, we're in Portland, Oregon. We have a place called Reed College, which is one of the most expensive colleges in the United States. But they have a lake right next to them. And it's native habitat. I mean, it's not a paved path. It's a path. It's a kind of nature walk and stuff. And there's so much greenage there and everything that, coyotes live in there.
Oh yeah.
We have blue herring, heron.
Heron, yeah.
They actually have a frog, separate frog pond that they're building because.
Are they really?
Yeah. A lot of the fish have been eating the frogs.
Oh man. Those frogs are going to turn around and start eating the fish.
Yeah.
It'd be hell. Hell comes to Frog Town.
I think they're doing it because they want to lick the frogs.
The fish want to lick the frogs?
No, the students.
Don't lick the frogs. Anyway, so but you can imagine, if that was true, if you were following the migration habits of like wild animals, if in folklore the only way that you could get across a bridge is to make a sacrifice of a goat, which right. goats have been known for sacrifices for since recorded time.
Right.
I think even the Bible even talks about that a little bit with Cain and Abel, if I remember that story somewhat well. But yeah. There's that idea, and that's a great thing that you point out. I never even thought about that. It's like, you were supposed to pay a toll, but I never heard what the toll was for the troll.
I thought it was always a goat or some kind of lamb or something that you'd leave there, and then they'd come get it. Suppose that you never see them come get it, but they come get it, and then it was safe to walk across.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it makes sense to me that especially in those kind of mountainous areas in Europe that you would come across something like that. And I think even if memory serves, the Chinese and some of the Asian nations also had something similar to that, where they had trolls, quote unquote, hanging out under bridges and stuff like that, because the bridge offered some sort of protection from the natural elements. And I think there's some truth behind that.
And when some of those, I mean, those bridges were not full running rivers underneath there. Most of them were like streams, but they were so down below that they had to build a bridge no matter what.
Yeah, there's no other way of getting across from one side to the other if you're cruising across a creek, which has its own natural, divot.
Yeah, those horses can't go fast enough with that ramp.
Yeah, and you don't want a troll or a squatch reaching up from underneath a bridge and grabbing your horse. I mean, that's just not good.
You're a what?
you're a squatch? You're a troll?
So I got to tell you that we named one. We have not seen her, but we have a name for her, Susie Squatch.
Susie Squatch.
She's...
You can smell her before you can see her.
You can smell her before you see her. That's right. Man. We talked about that. She might be French. She doesn't shave.
Yeah, she's very aromatic.
Aromatic. Well, speaking of the French, in those hills back in... Because there's a lot of forest in France. People think that, but there's a lot of forest in France, and because they got the hill, they got the start of the Andes and all that in there. And the Alps
and Andes are in right. South America.
Yes. The Alps, the wineries are around there because of the hills, but they've taken a lot of trees out, but there's still a lot of trees and everything. And it's at that medium, like here where, they have that growth where it's, if it snows, it's covered. If it gets too hot, it's cool. Same thing here. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody knows this, but Oregon, like France, has probably one of the best growing areas for wine. And it's the reason why a lot of the wineries around Oregon, especially in the Willamette Valley, are looked upon really favorably. They've been actually equaling some of the sales that French wines get these days. And so there's a big competition going on there, which is fantastic. It's great for Oregon. Hey, come here and check out our wines.
Yeah.
Then you can head down to McMinnville and head out to the UFO festival and stuff like that, which is a completely different thing altogether.
And that's in
McMinnville, Oregon.
Yes. Yep. Well, that's coming right up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming up next week, and I'm unfortunately have to bow out of that.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah. I'll explain that little bit later.
The parade is great.
Oh, the parade's awesome. Yes. I've got so many great shots of those.
With the wineries, but we're up in Mount Hood and a lot of the coast range here, we have a lot of berries that are grown wild. We have huckleberries. Mm-hmm. We have blueberries are wild here. Even we have wild strawberries here, which are not like what you really get, but they're just smaller and stuff. Let alone the foliage. We have a lot of foliage that's edible. We have the ferns.
Yep.
Is it fiddle ferns that you eat?
I can't remember.
Fennel. There's fennel,
And then, but there's a fern that actually comes out, and it's when it blooms, you can actually eat the flower.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, and of course, you know, the Oregon grape.
Right.
Which is the state flower, which I always found kind of interesting. It's like, why is it called the Oregon grape? But okay, maybe somebody was chewing on that and licked a frog. I don't know.
Oregon frog.
Yeah. Over at Reed College, where frogs are disappearing one by one as students come by and pick them up and put them in their pockets, and the frogs squeal.
Do they squeal?
No, I'm just making that up.
Oh.
I think it sounds good, though.
I think they croak.
Oh. Don't sit down. Pardon me, my frog just burped.
So
I feel like I'm on point today.
So, Alan, you have some information there.
Oh, okay. So I was taking a look at a couple different things. You know, there's a couple things that are talking about the legendary bipedal ape or the long-lost relative. You know, they talk about in American society. But the biggest one that I came across was Bigfoot in popular culture. Now, of course, we're adding to that mythology just with this particular podcast, but Bigfoot has been around for a number of things, and it gets more popularized, but like all folklore, a lot of the more harsher aspects are kind of let go because it becomes more of a popular story to deal with Bigfoot. Like, you know, when I start getting into Bigfoot, okay, so my knowledge of him was like from a movie that was like the
Legend of Boggy Creek.
Yep, back in 73, I believe.
Yeah.
And then some other stories that had come out from the Northwest talking about Bigfoot. And then, of course, as a kid watching the $6 Million Man dealing with the Bionic Sasquatch. Fantastic. I love that show. Anyway, sorry.
So did Bigfoot go squat, squat?
No, squash. He had a weird sound,
I forgot what it was.
Yeah, it's an ironic sound.
Oh, by the way, $6 Million Man also had the fembots in them.
Oh yeah, they were always a foil more for Jamie Summers than it was for Steve Austin. Believe it or not, you are right. There are some fembots. I think I still come across those from time to time. You just need to slap off their face and, you know, there's that robotic thing underneath. And it's just like, oh, my God, what happened?
What is that like taking off their cloth mask?
Something like that. I have nothing to say. Okay, so there's a bunch of listings for a number of different things for Bigfoot here in popular culture. Dealing with a jerky, actually. Jack Lynx.
Yes.
Has Sasquatch on it. Bushnell Corporation used it for Field and Stream with Sasquatch.
Okay.
You know, dealing with a deer hunter, Rick Jacobs here from Pennsylvania. Red Robin had a commercial with Sasquatch saying, good. And it was sounded by Bigfoot. Carlsbad Beer.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. Progressive.
Oh, yes. They did have one.
Had one for that. Bigfoot named Daryl, who used to upset people, were so preoccupied with their outdoor recreational vehicles that nobody wanted to see him.
That's right. And he had another brother named Daryl.
The Sierra Nevada Brewing Company had one for a barley wine style called Bigfoot. U.S. Forest Service uses Bigfoot in comedic environmental protection campaigns, which I can see that.
Yeah, makes sense.
They probably hang out with Smokey. And then, let's see here. Oh, a fire in Oregon during the spring of 2020. Oregon officials started using for forest fire safety, using Safer for Squatch.
Oh,
so that's interesting.
Well, that's a good...
We had some crazy wildfires a couple of years ago that really, really bad. You couple that with the pandemic and everything just went crazy during that year. Let's see. So, Chuck E. Cheese has a Bigfoot named Nigel. Nigel the Bigfoot. What? Chuck E. Cheese?
He's from the UK.
Yeah. Okay. I want to do a voice, but I can't.
Nigel?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, then there was some other stuff. Talking with Tina Fey appears as Bigfoot as a grooming for Jack McBear. But that's just an advertising.
This is part 2 of 3, and have a good day. Music brought to you by Lahaina Music from Lahaina, Maui.